Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. This is the wrap-up, the finality of the year 2012. A huge changing year. And to bring us through into the next one, we honor the Idle No More movement with the Woman Warriors chant.
Pinko the bear, who's in the chat, and who will.
Hey, Pinko.
Good. Hi, Pinko.
But you all know about Chief Spence and her fast that's going on out in front of Parliament in Canada.
Let's fill in all our listeners today and give them all the details.
Well, I don't know most of the details, but I do know that the Idle No More movement is with Indigenous people in North America right now. And I'm hearing more and more that people don't want to be called Native American. They don't want to be called American. And there's a good reason for it, you know. They the word America is not one that their ancestors walked with. So,
right.
There you go. And a big hello to David Krell walked in, too. I hope you guys can hear us out there. So the Idle No More movement, there's been, I guess it began with, Ruth Ann, are you aware of it?
I'm aware of it, but I don't know what the dynamic that got it going, because, I mean, I've just heard of it in the last, several days, and it seems like it's really on the move.
Wow.
Well,
that's impressive.
They began, they've had quite a few flash dances, or flash mobs at different places all through Canada and then into North America, or the United States, with in the middle of town squares, and in malls, especially through the holidays. And this the song that we opened with, the Woman Warriors tune, in honor of Chief Spence, it basically, that's what they've been doing, round dancing and warrior chants, to bring up awareness of the conditions. And it's with Chief Spence and her nation. They are under, you know, siege, like most Indian nations are right now, from the respective governments for just various issues. The biggest ones, though, are that they have been, their land has been abused by corporations, and they're left with bad water conditions, no food, no, it's just very awful. And it spans all indigenous nations in the United States and Canada. How many times do we see where people can't get on their own land anymore to hold ceremonies?
Well, and they're still, well, they're still taking their children.
Yes.
That's a big travesty of everything humane. But, you know, like we did here in the United States years ago, especially in the Southwest, taking
the
Navajo.
Oh, they're taking
the
children away from the parents?
And they're
forcing
doing
that. Forcing them to be on reservations?
They're taking the kids because they think that they aren't getting whatever, you know, they're not turning into white people is what it's all about.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's about it right there. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. It's, you know, and I'm sure they're getting, I'm sure in Canada they're getting absolutely no cooperation whatsoever
from Harper,
from the Stephen Harper's conservative Tory government, which is a disgrace. It's George Bush in reverse. You know, I mean, it's a George Bush clone up there for them.
Well, it's also, this Chief Spence is outside the major major parliament for all of the what do they call them up there? Count, they're not counties. They're the sections of Canada, Saskatchewan, Ontario. You know,
the provinces.
Province.
Yeah. And on a hunger strike.
That's a big. Isn't it a province? Yeah.
Yeah, and she's out there waiting to speak to the primary prime minister. She's invited him out, and this is since the 18th, I believe, of December. Mm-hmm. And basically, she's on a hunger strike. A hunger strike is an awful thing to people don't really get it. What happens with a hunger strike, and what happens to the people who are on them? Now, Chief Spence, I think, is consuming some water and some honey. That's about it.
I would hope so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
well, it's not enough. That's not enough to sustain you.
Well, you can go without food for a long time, but you have to have some kind of hydration.
You sure do. That's right.
You know, one of and today I want to particularly at the end of the year give thanks to the inspiration for the Sunday show, which is, you know, the Roundtree 7 team over there blogging and all the people who support us. And also does a lot of activism and community work, and especially himself being an Indigenous person.
Yes.
With the different area, the Ohonee and the nations that surround him where he is in Northern California. And tonight when we open up and we say that we're in solidarity with and supporting the Idle No More people, the best way we can do it, as you guys were talking about before we came on air, is with alternative media.
Right.
And the ability to, you know, drum up the support, solidarity, and bring awareness to the greater community. And we're doing it with alternative media and social networks. And it's fucking working, people. It's fucking
working. Great.
It is
a little bit at a time. It's all we can do, and we're doing the best we can. Say, I wanted to ask, do either of you, Ruth Ann or Gwen, do you know which nation Chief Spence belongs to?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Not right okay. now, and I'm going to I'm looking to find that information actually
okay.
right on here.
But because we're dreadfully unaware here in the States of the plight of indigenous peoples here
mm-hmm.
within our own borders,
mm-hmm.
but we're even more ignorant of what's happening above our border. You know,
right? Well, I think within our borders, we've had some action because
mm-hmm.
of the pipeline.
Right. Oh yeah.
But
right. Yeah.
You know, but we haven't heard anything like we're hearing now with Idle No More.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And so I know that we're going to get in, you know, much more involved in that.
Yeah.
Well, what's been going on is that Chief Teresa Spence has been fasting for more than 2 weeks in an effort to persuade Prime Minister Stephen Harper to meet with her and other
mm-hmm.
First Nation leaders over treaty issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying mm-hmm. before, this is about, you know, the constant walkover of indigenous
mm-hmm.
people. It's hard to say. I think First Nations guys covers it, and I'm going to do my best to get some First Nation people on air this coming year
yeah.
to discuss this and bring the awareness up.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that, you know, it gets a little, there's so much back and forthing, especially between activists and people supporting one another
mm-hmm.
With all of this. And thank you, David, for putting the site into our chat room. The idlenomore.com will give you just about everything you need to know about this. And I'm going to go there with it. But it's just incredible to me that, and it is going on, that, Jesus, people are actually, well, I was born here too, that kind of, you know, action. And it's not about that. This is a whole different thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is First Nations, and there's issues that need to be addressed honestly and with, you know, with support from everybody in active caring other. You follow where I'm going, guys?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Definitely, I agree.
Yeah,
it's up to us to carry the ball.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I hear a lot of background noise there, but I don't know where it's coming from.
Around there. Idle No More calls for only peaceful acts of resurgence and reclamation of sacred sites. That's
good.
What I can talk about a little bit because I've worked with other groups of indigenous First Nations and I don't know many people who haven't in some way or another to keep sacred sites, burial mounds, and the lands that the treaties have given to the or have specified to the First
mm-hmm.
Nations to them. It's an incredible issue, and
mm-hmm.
it's an incredible event that we have a lady in Canada who's uniting First Nations all the way from Canada all the way down into South America. That's
oh,
the big
great.
Deal.
Wow. It's truly a global phenomenon then.
Well, it's
at least a Western Hemisphere phenomenon.
It's certainly this continent. That's
yeah.
just one of the events that has gone on this year. And I mean, I know that Ra can tell us something about another big event that's been going on. Ruth Ann, capsulate for us what has happened over in Palestine, will you?
Oh my goodness, yeah, a lot. You know, for so long, Palestine has wanted some kind of recognition,
mm.
and now, just a few weeks ago. We got it in the UN, and there were 9 countries that voted against it, the United States and Israel and Canada being 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it really, really showed, with 138 votes, I believe, that the people of the world are aware, and they're no longer falling into the Zionist trap.
Right, exactly.
So this was
very noteworthy because many nations went against the U.S. and Israel and Canada.
Right, very surprising. There were, you know, a couple others. Oh, I think Panama, Czech Republic, and another, and then three or four islands in the Pacific, you know, like Micronesia, and a couple of those little tiny places that are probably very dependent on this country, I assume. You know, but as far as, you know, the major nations around the world, they all sided with Palestine. It was
incredible.
Very, very moving. Yeah. And some
big development.
Yes. And, well, you know, then Israel was trying to punish, of course, and we've seen what's happened. But, you know, there's still a lot, even though it seems in a way like we're saying it was a big event, and in other ways it doesn't seem like such a big thing, but it's the beginning, and people have dared go against the United States. And that just says a world.
It sure does. And, you know, we get such a distorted perception of the Palestinian question here within our borders by our major media, which is horrible to begin
with.
But they have us all believing that Hamas is a terrible organization and full of terrorists, and Hezbollah is the worst thing in the world, when in fact those are organizations that are very, very interested in the advancements of their own peoples on a human basis. And they're building hospitals for them. They're doing all kinds of good things.
Yeah.
And we characterize them as terrorists.
Right. Well, that's because they don't jump into the plans that the United States and Israel have for them.
Exactly.
So, you know, and
Hamas, they're too independent for them. Yeah.
Right. Whether people like Hamas or not, they cannot refute the fact that it is an elected, legally elected body.
Exactly. Yep.
And,
exactly.
You know, so the United States didn't get in there to destabilize and, you know, put in their own puppet. So automatically Hamas becomes a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Mm-hmm.
Well, we, you know, our CIA is, I can't say that with any certainty that I'm sure they're guilty in this case, but in most cases of foreign intervention, you can find the CIA's dirty handiwork, because I was just watching this past week on Link TV. They had a story on Mossadegh, who was the duly elected democratic leader of Iran in the early 50s, who we engineered, we installed the Shah of Iran against the will of the people, and we completely destroyed a democratic regime by installing this guy because he wasn't towing our line.
Right. So it has nothing to do with bringing democracy or humanitarian aid or anything. It's supporting the multinational corporations who are trying to steal other countries' resources.
Exactly.
You know, like,
let's get it right
here.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we fly this banner of democracy and nobility and all this stuff, and it's just a facade. It really is. And it's an unfortunate one, because if we really were for democracy the way we say we are, or, you know, pure democracy, it'd be a lot different. But, you know, we'd be talking a lot different story right now. But no wonder Iran hates us, for example. I mean, no wonder the Palestinians are against us by and large
when we support the
Zionist Israel.
But the people aren't. Because
I know.
Talk to them all the time, and they realize that our government sucks. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
You know, most of them around. They don't hate us. They don't hate us.
No, not the American people. That's right.
That's
hate what our government does and what our CIA does.
As we do.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not a fan of this government or the CIA or any other alphabet agency.
Right.
That's social networks getting people connected to one another. That's a global consciousness. You know, David is making a good point, too, about this here. Mm-hmm. He's saying that basically that he thinks that 2012 can be considered the year of proof that was given to the American people that the ability to protest is not possible without infiltration and subjugation. And Occupy became a target of the DHS apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
dang it, DHS apparatus.
Yeah.
And they were targeted like terrorists. I mean, I spent a great deal of 2012 in anger, and I'm not going to do that again because I don't want to attract. No.
Yeah.
It's a good point. It gets people, and our job is to keep people from getting angry, get them smart, use the tools of government against them, vote.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he says that it's been done before by the feds, but never at this level by a grassroots protest against general conditions. And that's a big thing he's saying. General conditions, and this is a theme that has been global this year. Look what's happened since October of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
The banks have control of the wheel, by the way, it's the end of that.
Tremendous changes have occurred, and tremendous awareness has occurred, and these are good things.
Yeah, well, since Mohamed Bouazizi, I mean, since Tunisia, It has exploded, and I would say, as the metaphysician in the crowd, and I'm not the only one here, Ra, and basically that was the actual end of the Maya calendar, the calendar, not the alignment that just occurred, but the calendar itself. Was October 2011, and things have been exploding. See, it's not a bunch of hoo-ha. It's about cycles changing, and it's based in what's going on with all of the different bodies that surround us here in the solar system and our part of the galaxy, and it's just triggers that are happening. I think it's very valid, but nevertheless, this year has been a kicker for bringing up, as David said, these general conditions. Nobody is really putting up with it anymore. And everybody, like Ra just said, everybody, by the way, people, when I say Ra, I mean Roseanne, when this goes on, people talking to one another over the social networks, whether it's Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook's probably the big one. Mm-hmm. It's still, and of course, then there's the other issue about Facebook and the censorship that's going on, but still, people are getting together and talking about these general conditions, and things are happening.
That's a very good thing. I just want to interject real quickly while I think of it. I want to apologize to both Stella Johnson and to Stimson for not having replied to their comments on my post. I tried doing it twice yesterday, and I wasn't able to do the change, trying to get in my reply. So I want to thank you both. I understand where you're coming from, and I'm in total agreement with both of you. So let me just put that out there if they're listening so that they know that I did indeed try, and I wasn't trying to be standoffish. Anyway, back to topic.
Well, the topic is, what was the post? I missed it. I'm embroiled with the packing.
Well, it was the one I put out on Christmas Day, the Sleep in Heavenly Peace one about the poor children got killed. And Stella's point was that she didn't want to lessen what I was trying to say or contradict it in any way. She agreed. But she said it was really a tragedy that so many minority murders and things are ignored every day in America. And it's very, very true because we only pay attention when it's sweet young white kids, you know. And it's a very good point. And Stimson raised the question of gun violence in this country and all that stuff too. And I couldn't be in more agreement with both of them.
Well, and then there's the drone attacks, our military. Children are dying under those. I mean, there's just no,
There are so many innocent people that are dying, and a little tiny bit of perceived bad guys, but a huge amount of innocent people. There's collateral damage occurring all over the place with those things.
Yes.
Right, and like you said, perceived bad guys. Because
Exactly.
One person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter.
Exactly,
and,
right.
You know, so, yeah.
That's not to say we're endorsing terrorism in general, because
we're not.
But that is a very valid point.
Well, we're the biggest terrorists on the planet.
In many ways, that's very true.
In many ways,
very true.
Yeah.
Oh, the things we've done over the years to so many countries, we got to hang our heads in shame. And that's, you know, that's another reason that so many people across the globe hate America. And, you know, I think they all understand, or if they don't, they should understand, it's not the American people, it's the American government and the American intelligence people and the American military and the American security forces that are doing this stuff. It's not the American people that want it to happen. We're appalled by it.
But they're being told to do it. They're being told on high to do it. And David just made a very good point again from Jet. In his honest opinion, he feels that the political powers and economic mafia types know that conditions are going to get worse.
Right.
And he's an engineer who works with a lot of different elemental, you know, he knows these things. In other words, he wrote on that one. So instead of improving the conditions, they have been putting in the machinery for control, surveillance, imprisonment without due process.
Yeah,
and
itself is the biggest crime we can thank George Bush for and his neocons for doing away with with due process. That is unforgivable.
Well, and this president has locked down.
Has kept it up.
Oh, he's
kept
made
it up.
He's done anything to help us.
Yeah, I agree. It's terrible.
The irony here is not irony at all. It's that, and people are waking up, and we're awake, and a lot of the people that we socially connect with over the inner tubes, they're awake. But what's really nice to see is when I go to pages that are not politically slanted or oriented or metaphysically or spiritually slanted, because spiritual people are all on the same page as we are. And they're very informed about it because they're on Twitter and everything. But if you go on to pages that are like, you know, the crafters over at Michael's that pick up and do scrapbooking and places like that, if you go and look around, you will find that people are beginning to discuss issues because of the tragedies that are happening that come to light, like the little children that were murdered by a child himself who was sick. You know, there is a lot that is coming to light, and people are beginning to talk. And it's like we said at the beginning, our job. Ruth Ann has now. How many? You're producing how many shows that are bringing awareness up?
Oh my goodness, Brian and I do the Progress Toward Democracy, and that's very political, twice a week. And then I interview people twice a week on Aramartefio on Feed Your Head and Gather Round. We also have a socialist show on Aramartefio. Yeah. So we
and
Akash Temple Live, we touch on politics in Akash Temple Live. So quite a few. You know, it's important.
But
we need
all
to
of,
do as much as we can.
Ruth Ann, after the show, would you email Gwen? A lot of this information, I want to get my hands on it, too, and I want to start featuring it in my blog.
Sure, we'll do.
Yeah, we want to keep popularity going as much as we can.
Yeah, okay, I will do. Thank you, Jeff.
Definitely. Before when we were talking, too, you were saying how Bush enacted all of this stuff. Well, the word that Pinko came up with, which is right. Obama has codified it. Bush was working outside the law when he implemented, but Obama has gone in and codified and legalized it, and that was David's period to Pinko's statement.
And that's even worse, because he didn't have to do that. He could have changed it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know. Just simply taking the public posture that, oh, we're not going to do that anymore, people. You're okay now. That's not good enough. And it's not true.
You know, I keep remembering how after 3 months in office, after inauguration and everything, and it came up before him as a bill, Obama put down bringing anyone in the last administration to justice on torture.
I know. Yeah, that was a big mistake.
I will never forget the comment that was made on Countdown by Keith Olbermann. It was moving.
Yeah.
And what he said was, essentially, was that that Obama had just set the precedent.
Exactly.
For what David just wrote about how they are using this to illegally detain us and just sweep us away as things get worse.
Yeah, that's indefensible. There is no defense for that action whatsoever, and it's got to be completely done away with it as a practice. It's horrible, and it's a very real threat to everybody throughout the world, really.
It is, and as David's saying, he never thought he would see in his lifetime a true star chamber by Obama, but that he has a point, doesn't he?
Yeah. Very true. Yep. Yeah, it's a real that's the biggest tragedy of our times. You know, this this ballyhoo about we have to defeat Bin Laden because he's going to destroy our democracy. Well, look who's done a better job than he did at destroying our democracy: George Bush and regrettably President Obama.
Yeah, that's a joke.
It is.
It's our own government. And
yes, exactly.
The thing is that while the opportunity is still here, and thinking more indigenously, which I try to do more every day, I look to what are the tools we have right now to build for the generations to come. Mm-hmm. And one of them is to use what we have left, and that is voting. And if people are aware and awake, they will vote. Here in Florida, apparently, I don't know if anybody saw this, but apparently almost 50,000 people stayed away from voting because of all of the roadblocks put up by this governor.
Oh, yeah. Well Jeb Bush
because
did that stuff in 2000 as well. So,
right. And now Rick
one Scott. Of the typical things they do to try and keep people away. People they think that are going to vote against them, they try to keep them from going to the polls. All kinds of ways to do that. Yep.
Well, let me ask you this question. What happened to New York City when Boss Tweed got shown up for what he was? What happened? You know, that's where the term nothing dumber than a New York Democrat comes from.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What happened? I mean, when that corruption and that kind of corruption is what our whole Senate and Congress seems to be embroiled in.
Well, they were swept out of power at the turn of the last century, just like has to happen now, you know.
Yeah.
Just think about this, gang. Just think about the literally millions and millions of dollars that have been wasted on congressional salaries just during this last two Congresses, with all the obstruction they've had and all the non-voting and all the stalling and all the filibustering. And we're paying these guys $174,500 a piece to do this stuff, and now they're even going to give themselves another raise. What is this bullshit?
Yeah, right. Because Obama signed that in at Thursday or something, the raise
and,
for them.
Yeah, and they have the audacity to say that they're concerned about our national debt and they don't want it to increase anymore. And here they're giving themselves raises and not doing anything to earn that money?
For doing absolutely nothing.
It is just such a joke. It's not even a funny joke. It's a disgusting, repulsive joke.
If it was a movie, it would be like a Z-grade movie or something.
Exactly. Yep.
And
good point, Roseanne.
Here from the side that can't call in or isn't calling in, there's some interesting stuff here. And Pinko brings up an argument that's always going to be made here. and probably throughout society as long as humanity goes there. But he says if I have to keep rolling this thing back here, he said, if voting changed anything, they would make it illegal. So what if elections when both parties are in cahoots? And you have to give him his due. He has.
That's very true. Now, the only rebuttal I can make to that is that every once in a great, great, great while, something earth-shaking happens and really good things happen. I'll cite, for one example, the New Deal. Had the Great Depression not occurred in 1929, and gotten so much worse, and then Hoover, you know, failed at every attempt he made, every feeble attempt he made to try and overcome it. FDR swept in, and he did initiate some very, very needed reforms and changes that persist to this day. And the Republicans are trying to get rid of them even, but they were very necessary for then and for now and for going forward into the future. And we need this to happen again. It doesn't happen too often, but it does happen at least once a generation. And when it does, we've got to ride it for everything it's worth.
Well, it happens often enough to give us hope.
Exactly. Maybe not quite enough to really keep things going, but it gives you something to aspire to.
Well, one of the reasons, too, was because we had intrepid reporting. Of course, Hearst was hanging on then like Murdoch is now. But we had some intrepid, revealing reporting, and now we have alternative media. And it does make a difference. People do listen to, you know, we've got a few thousand people who listen every week to our show. I'm really sort of stunned, but I'm happy.
Yeah.
And the biggest numbers are actually on this Sunday show. David says, where is the MSM on this? Where is the MSM gone? Democracy has been the biggest casualty of the war on terror. Terrorists will soon be forgotten. Democracy was a fragile existence that we have strived to achieve for centuries, and he's that it's going, gone. He has a point.
We become a corporacy, and that's a big difference than a democracy. We're corporately owned. We're run by plutocrats. They're spewing forth their noxious fumes all over the airwaves, all over the media, and you know, there's just enough of us around to counterbalance it to a certain extent. But for every one of us, there's a big, huge Fox News out there spewing nothing but trash, and you know, it's up to us to, in our own little ways, to collectively and individually join forces and completely eradicate this nonsense.
Well, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and the other part about it is, too, I'm not very for at all nationalism. I'm more for I'm more for a global community than ever before, with local being the anchor, the sustainability and global trade. I mean, it would end a lot of the problems.
Well, let's make that a little more clearly here. Let's say that we're for global trade, but fair global trade, not one-sided global trade that enriches people in foreign countries at the expense of their own vastly underpaid labor force, or that hurts our own labor force here in the States.
No,
we've got to have a little balance out there. We need economic democracy, for God's sakes. We don't have it.
Hey, without these fucking countries and borders, there wouldn't be a problem with who hit who. You know, it wouldn't be about global. But we always do seem to form some sort of society, don't we? There's a couple where there's three. There's society, and somebody's going to get a black eye. That's
we're suspicious of people we don't know anything about or don't want to know anything about, and that's the big problem right there. And it's like, I think it's I believe it someday can be overcome, but as it stands today, and really throughout our history, it's a fundamental human trait. And I don't want to say that it's that way indefinitely, but it so far has been that. And it's dangerous. It's led to nothing but conflicts, destruction, We could have done so much more for the country, for battling human disease, for making lives better. But no, we invested all our resources and all our intelligence and all our drive into producing weapons of mass destruction, building armies, propping up corrupt dictatorships, you know, across the world. You know, we're just going about it the wrong way. We're just a very, very failed people in that regard, and that's human-wide speaking.
Well, I would say this: we're challenged to find that planetary community cohesion kind of thing.
Yeah, very good point.
And Pinko made a really elegant sort of statement here about how capitalism doesn't really work, and it doesn't actually.
Right.
It doesn't. Really work. It really does give people, and there's the illusion that keeps getting, as David had brought up in chat, where's the MSM in this? Well, it's corporate-owned. There was an incredible story this week out of Current Television that came up in their daily news feed. One of the CNN reporters came out with how CNN lied about what was going on in Syria because they're doing business with them.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, but it's funny. Current Television put this out, but no other network is carrying it.
Yeah, right. Well, once in a great while, you'll see a little flash of truth emitting from one of the MSN.
Major,
and I don't consider Current to be really MSN. MSM, they're kind of independent in a certain respect. As is Link TV, is very independent.
They're corporate owned. They're quasi independent.
Right, exactly.
You could say the same thing about Democracy Now. They have their own feet under themselves, but they're quasi corporate. People do have complaints about Democracy Now. I don't personally. I think Amy Goodman.
I don't really know. No, I think Amy Goodman
does
a great job over there.
Yeah. I got no complaints with Amy Goodman.
I wish more network, or I wish more news programs would be more oriented along her lines.
I agree. I do too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as far as the year 2012 going, you know, what's transpired throughout this year and what we're holding on to right now at the end of it, there's been this idea going up to solstice about the Armageddon factor, the fear stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then now they're sort of politically prolonging that with this fiscal cliff stuff, which is all a bunch of bullshit.
No, I agree.
And I'm wondering, and here's the thing, too. I think that the stock market was fluctuating a great deal, wasn't it?
It was. It was fluctuating quite a bit last week, you bet.
Mm-hmm.
If they heard something good, they'd shoot upward. If they heard something bad, they'd shoot downward. I mean, it was like being on a castaway on a log in the middle of the sea. Up and down and up and down, submerging up and up above the waves. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, and the other part about it is too that in the chat room they're talking about David had brought up that he always believed to win the Cold War we had to become the monster, and that monster never left us, that the Soviets may have lost, but we're the walking mortally wounded. He's right. We have been chewed up by our own intelligence industry.
But
you know, it's really crazy. Take a look at what's happened to Russia. They've gone in. The main part of Russia under Putin, it's like a Russian mafiaville. You know, it's thugs are us over there.
That's right.
It's incredible. And you have to really read like foreign newspapers and listen Al Jazeera and to understand, or the real news, You really have to go to those outside sources.
Yeah.
And here David's talking about the Cold War and how we spent so much time trying to unhinge the Soviet Union, and the Soviet now is nothing but a thug nation. Of course,
it really is.
You
good point.
Say
very
that.
Good point.
You could probably have said that all along, if you know, after Uncle Joe and all of that. But the point is that there be monsters. It's pretty much who won what. I mean, we didn't.
Well, exactly. I mean, our mainstream media lies about that, like they do everything else, and they love to say that. Oh, Russia's now a democratic nation. No, it's not. It's not a democratic nation at all. It is controlled by their own set of thugs, just like our own set of thugs.
It's like our own
major media here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very true. Yeah.
We have a lot in common.
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, we.
Regrettably
so.
Another 2012 point of purpose has been, notice how technology is just galloping along at a speed that's become pretty incredible. And that, by the way, goes for a lot of the science, and I'm talking about research in the medical fields. Things are busting.
Mm-hmm.
But technology is busting, and David just made mention, he wonders how the acceptance of all this technology may be requiring us to lose our identity. I'm thinking he means as humanity. I do think humanity's identity is actually going a global phenomenon of change. I think a global culture is emerging right now.
We're evolving, and we don't know exactly what the parameters are yet. We're caught in the middle of it.
Yeah. I think the only thing that you can do from my perspective, and I'd love to know what you think, Ra, my perspective is that we have to feel things. We have to feel things out. We can no longer, you know, it's got to go through the heart center. And I don't mean emotional, la, la, la. I mean really feel things. When things feel wrong, aren't they usually?
Exactly. I mean, trust our own feelings, trust our intuition, for want of a better word.
Well, you know,
know,
I think we need more
core,
input from women in economics and in government.
Oh, he got there.
That
he
too.
Went there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is very painfully obvious because we don't have enough of it.
Yeah.
Matriarchy, and something that is more involved than the matriarchy of the past. And someone from my community says that the goddess needs to be grounded on the planet again. What we are saying is that a more balanced masculine-feminine balance needs to
very true
back into things, and to say that women need to be more a part of the leadership of this planet, and I don't mean the one with brass cojones on that are collecting dollar bills under the table in Washington either.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
Right.
You know, I really, women are, no, Pinko, I just said not that crowd.
I'm not in chat. What is Pinko saying, honestly?
Oh my God, hold your nose. Here we go. No, what we really need is men and women who are more balanced with their masculine and feminine expressions of self and understanding of the world.
We need more reason and more common sense and more heart, and we are sadly lacking in all of those things right now.
We're searching for our moral compass, and we wouldn't have to be searching if we simply felt things out.
Mm-hmm.
And P.E. Nolan, or our own Trisha Poole, is in there too. And
hey,
she's
Trish.
She's saying greed is not a gender specific. Well, no, it's
exactly.
not.
Exactly.
There
Very
are plenty
true.
Of frauds out there who are swinging big wide blades for the,
yeah.
the bank. You know.
Oh yeah. Look at Fiorina and just you know McMahon and a bunch of those people. They're out in the left field somewhere. Not left field. They're out in their own field.
Yeah,
right. We're the lefties. They're not. They're
yeah. That's
yeah,
they're
okay,
not in our club.
Yeah, right. No, no,
that's
not in
sure.
our club.
I will say this, man. There's a lot to be said for what we've learned through industrialization, the onslaught
mm-hmm.
of technology, the huge buildup so fast, but never in the evolution of species on this planet, now this is just science, people, has any kind of a spurt of growth been like Homo sapien, or is
mm-hmm.
it Homo sapien sapien, our breed,
mm-hmm.
as it were. And the children that have been born in the last 20 years are born with more brain connected. They're working
mm-hmm.
with more left-right brain capability, and they're
Good.
Taller, and they have better memory capacity.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have larger retention, and perhaps that's a skill they've gotten from working with technology,
yeah,
with
could
that
be.
Eye coordination and all of that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
one
know,
underlying one underlying
changing.
Factor that I think we need to keep in mind is that no matter what we do for all eternity, as human beings, we are fallible. I don't care what the Pope says, we are fallible people, and
yeah.
we are going to make mistakes. We are going to continue to make mistakes. We're going to be out on a limb many times. Other times we're going to show little flashes of brilliance. But we cannot allow ourselves ever to become complacent and decide, oh, we've arrived now. No, we've never arrived. We never will arrive. We have to strive for arrival always. And that says it all, I think.
Well, there isn't anybody walking the planet, and I think just about every soul is here for
mm-hmm.
the ride right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any human being on the planet that can't achieve their own healing, their own
yeah.
ability to open their mind up and grow
right.
and learn. And
right.
we happen to be the elders now.
Right.
And as elders in any community, it's our job to
guide and enhance and,
right.
and lead.
Set the standard. Ruth Ann, I really wonder, what do you see coming up in the next year, positively, that can happen politically through activism and getting the word out and just staying the course that we keep?
I think that, well, you know, you and I have talked about this transformation a lot, and I have felt it, I've seen it, and I think that this year is going to just knock our socks off. Politically, in ways that we are not even imagining what's
mm-hmm.
going to happen, and I hope that it's I was going to say painless. It'll never be painless. I hope that as little violence as possible.
But we hope
is,
for a breakthrough.
Utilized.
We hope for a solid breakthrough.
yeah, but there's going to be so many changes, and
oh, yeah.
overall, it will be good. But we know there again, I mean, sometimes you have to go through the hell to get there.
Yeah.
But I'm so optimistic. I mean, you know, I'm an optimistic person anyway, and I have been for quite a while, but in the last few months, it's just like it's really, really growing. And
let's hope so.
Yeah. But
let's
it's sometimes
encourage it.
It's hard to get the smile off my face because I
All
am
right.
so, I just keep seeing things. And I'm ready. I want. You know, it's like bring it on. We're going to get through this because we've got
yeah.
such a great future ahead.
That's great. You know, we've come a long way in many aspects, but we still have a long way to go. And why stop now?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Let's
well,
keep striving.
I actually heard a really wonderful video. That was made by the anonymous crowd. posted in Journey with Roundtree 7 over on Facebook by Marsha Burr. I think she posted it, but was the most hopeful, unified, and asking people to wake up and take responsibility and look at the opportunities before us right now. In other words, I think what they were really saying was, look, we've just made a break, you know, a crack in that badass wall. Let's keep breaking away at it until that wall falls down. And I didn't know who I sounded like there. But, you know, really, bring down that wall of, and this is what I would say, bring down the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it down. Bring it down. All over the globe. Bring down the leadership. What's golden will stand there if we feel it out. It's metaphoric speaking,
but it's
and
true.
Yet it's the only way that we can express it right now, simply because the corruption's so manifest, the vile killing and war is just so overwhelming. All you can do is say, keep breaking the wall down.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Very good aspect of looking at it, and it's something that we need to consider and incorporate into our own individual and communal lives.
Well, and as David brings up in the chat room, we have no other choice.
Exactly.
And the reason we have no other choice to strive for improvement is because that's who we are. We've chosen to be people taking responsibility, caring. Most people, you know, David, you, Jack, Pinko, and to all of us, Oso, every one of us has a job we do. We go to work. I don't have a family to take care of, but mostly everybody does, who still takes their time mostly every other moment they have of it and picks up the sledgehammer and begins to beat at that wall to bring it down.
Right.
Because we know, we care, we feel it. We know that it for the generations to come, it's what we have to do.
Right.
And we couldn't do anything else. You know, people
right.
say something, it's like, well,
right.
no, once you know, you can't do anything else. To be
and, you know, there is a certain joy in the selfless nature of it, and that's what we need to encourage rather than discourage. We need to get away from this notion of everything's got to profit me and me alone stuff. That's crazy.
Right.
You know,
right.
it's got to be a we world, not a me world.
Right.
Well,
yeah, there can be a win-win-win, you know.
Right.
And folks have got to, I guess maybe Mr. Warhol's axiom about 15 minutes, I guess everybody has to feel that because there's too much celebrity, you know? People are not, especially the younger generations, they're looking to, the smart ones are looking to define themselves uniquely for themselves alone.
Mm-hmm.
The others are clinging to peer pressure of who's better than who.
Mm-hmm.
And it's celebrity kind of pressure. Everybody wants to be under the spotlight.
Well, you know, that's real self-indulgent, and we need to get away from that.
Well, and the only way to do it is by good example, by showing the joy, and the camaraderie and the good
camaraderie,
of being with that. I'll tell you, I look at, like, Pinko the Bear goes to the Burning Man events. I really want to get to one of those. That looks like just a very bad. I want to live there. You know, I want to live in Burning
Man. Yeah.
Now that's community. That's camaraderie.
Right.
And that's an adventure. And that's the thing that kids really do need, I think. Is
And it's healthy. It's healthy from all aspects.
Yeah. I mean, our adventures when we were young, I mean, mine was, you know, sneaking out on the boat or going, you know, down to the strip by hitchhiking and blowing a joint on the side of the road. You know, I mean, but it was an adventure, and we had a great time, and it kept us in a world of let's get up and do it again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's missing to an extent, but it's up to kids today to really define that for themselves, not us.
Right, and in a constructive rather than destructive way.
Right, right. Yeah. I'm a festival goer, and I go to them
good.
When I can. And it's that kind of thing. You know,
yeah,
you just have a community built up.
Yeah,
and
community.
Not
another keyword. Camaraderie and community. Keywords.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, everyone has a cordial invitation from Pinko the Bear to go find a bear at Burning Man and camp with him. And man,
all right. Be
right.
careful what you ask for or what you invite us to, Pinko. You know?
Well, let's just leave it at this since we're at the end of the hour. Let's just say Happy New Year 2013 to everybody. And let's make it a progressive year, let's make it a fair year, let's make it a sane year, and let's make it an ever-forward kind of year.
There you go, ever-forward.
Yep,
and
there you
it
go.
Really is. Well, and Ra, what would you say about 2013 at the end of the show here?
Oh, I would ask the people remain open and do their best to help other people.
Uh-huh.
Become open, because the possibilities of what we can do together are totally...
We're stronger together than we are alone.
Oh, definitely, definitely. There's
yep.
no end to what we can do together.
Exactly
so,
right.
There again, put some of the self-centeredness away and,
right.
you know, join in. Your
there
family
you
awaits you, you know.
Well done, Ra. Very good. Well, it's nice talking with you today.
Thank you guys so much. This is fun.
Thank you.
I have something I need to read out from David, and that's David Williams from Roundtree 7. And he wants to thank 2012 for allowing him to know folks' souls like myself, Trish, Oso, Jack, Ra, Pinko, and all of the people in Journey over on Facebook.
Yeah.
They've given him a renewed strength with their thoughts and wisdom, and he truly appreciates the gift. And
the feeling is mutual, David.
Definitely.
And,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I embrace all of everyone I know in my family out there, connected
uh-huh.
to by the intertubes and the telephone and via Skype and all of that. Really, it makes a difference, and
mm-hmm.
it's been a couple of years now. It's a strange way to hook up, but we did it, and we're solid, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something to grow on.
Yeah.
Good foundation. Great foundation.
Yes. Well, Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year 2013.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you in 2013, everybody.
Real soon.
All right. For now, I'm shoving off, and I'm saying good night and goodbye 2012, and looking forward to 2013 with all the goodness it will bring.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep, good night.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And thanks to everyone who has been in the chat. A wonderful New Year's to everybody, especially my Roundtree 7 family and everyone in it. Ra, you still with me there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Thank you
for everything you do, Gwen. Really.
Back at you, sister. You're doing a wonderful job. If anybody hasn't told you this week, you do a lot. Thank you so much for doing it.
I try.
I guess, like
we said, you know, you have to once you know.
Yeah, there's absolutely no other way. I mean, for me, for you, and I think for a lot of people. And I really do think that we're in the territory where we have to feel it out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's it's new and wonderful and exciting, and we're going to come out so far ahead.
You know, I want a special thank you to Krell and Pinko the Bear. They're putting on their own show here. I love them. I really love them. Oh, well, brothers and sisters, this would be the last Here Be Monsters Sunday show and any show in 2012, and it's been a kicker.
It has. Hug Elroy for me.
I will.
See you next year.
See you next year, Ra. 99.
I just.